Master on the Day of Judgment. May peace and salutations be on our beloved leader and guide, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the many sins the Muslim Ummah, locally and globally, are involved in, we decided that we touch on four evils, four wrongdoings, four types of sin that the Muslim Ummah are involved in. Having said that, this does not mean that the other sins that we are involved in or we are not involved in, that we should either involve ourselves in it or we can continue doing those evil and those type of sins. So the first sin that the Muslim Ummah that are involved in is the listening of music. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the hadith, Al-ghina yunbitu nifaq fil qalb kama yunbitu al-ma'u al-zara. That music makes hypocrisy grow in the heart like how water causes the crops to grow. So when we listen to music, we think we're getting some kind of benefit. It's relieving our stress. It is relieving our problems. But at the end, nothing of that sort. Nothing will make things happen for us or make things easy for us when we listen to music. Now we need to understand that when we talk about music, normally in the past when we used to mention anything with regards to music, we talk about the English songs and whatever else. Nowadays, we find even our Muslim artists, they sing either with music notes or music beats and the piano and the drums and whatever it might be, and they also sing without. So we go to that point where we listen to anashid and nizam of those people without the musical instruments. Because in one hadith, something to the effect, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that I have came to destroy all these musical instruments. And we need to also remember that the drum, the duf, it is one side closed and one side open. So that is permissible. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina Munawwara, those young children, they sang Tala al-Badru alayna for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam using that. So that is fine and on its place. But we find that our artists are using the piano and the drums and all the other musical instruments. So listening to that is totally not permissible at all. And if we listen to the one without music, obviously it goes without saying, there's no harm, some kind of benefit when we listen to anashid and nizam, whether English, whether Urdu, whatever language it might be. It can, and we need to look at, one is to look at the tune also, and one is to look at them, the words that have been mentioned in that anashid and those nizams and naats, etc. So we find that the Muslim Ummah, whether young or old, are involved in this vice and this evil. We had mentioned the ahadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to it, so there's no benefit whatsoever. We think we're getting benefit outwardly or inside, but nothing at all. And more to that, we find that our youth, on their gadgets, the cell phone and whatever they might have, they are downloading all this music onto their cell phone or the MP3 player, whatever it might be. As parents, we need to wake up and see what are my children doing. We bought them the cell phone. We give them access to the uncapped Wi-Fi, but we don't know what they are doing. They're sitting in their room, the door locked. What they might be seeing, what they might be doing, only Allah knows. So much of haram they are doing on that cell phone. That is a different topic on its own with regards to social media. But we are mentioning with regards to the downloading of music on our devices on the cell phone. And the children are listening to it. The adults are listening to it. While we are driving, the music is going on. Instead of that, what we should do? We should read the Quran Kareem, because there's reward in reading the Quran Kareem, listening to the Quran Kareem as well, taking the name of Allah, making the dhikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. With that, there's benefit. There's not one harm whatsoever. But when we listen to music, we download that music on our cell phones and our gadgets and the MP3s and so on, we are causing destruction to ours, to ourselves. And as parents, we are, if we're not looking at it and we're not stopping them, we are also part of the sin and part of the fault and part to be blamed, because we have given them that, give them open access to the Wi-Fi, and whatever they can download and whatever they are downloading, we're not even checking, we're not seeing their phone. We're not saying be a policeman or policewoman, the mothers at home who are listening, but keep a check on them to see what they are doing, what are they downloading on their devices. So in that way, also instilling the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we find many a times, you know, with social media, you can be chatting to somebody, we're going to discuss that just now, and downloading things, and when the mother or father says, I'm going to check your phone, what happens? I'm going to check your phone at 2 o'clock. So delete, 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 delete. Delete history. You can delete the history here, but on the day of Qiyamah, there's no way you're going to get away from it, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reveal everything that we had done in the world, good or bad. So that's the first one. That is, with regards to music, it is totally forbidden. We had mentioned with regards to different aspects there. And also, there's no way that music can ever benefit us. When we make the dhikr of Allah, Allah bi dhikri Allahi tatma'inul qulub, we will get that contentment from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The second evil, the second sin that the Muslim ummah is involved in is with regards to interest. Very sad these days we hear about it. And what makes it worse, where we don't listen or we don't hear these incidents from Muslim. We listen or we hear the incidents from non-Muslim. The non-Muslim comes to you and he says, you know, your Muslim brother, he gives us money, 50 rand, 100 rand, 1,000 rand, 10,000 rand. And then when the month end comes, he says, you have to give me added 100 rand, added 200 rand. He takes interest from us. Remember, those people who involve themselves in interest, Allah makes mention in the Quran, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Those people who involve themselves in interest, they are waging war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have no chance. We cannot win that war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this world, we can win many wars, either with our wealth, either with our muscles, and whatever else. But when we go into war with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you can be the strongest person, physically and monetary. But remember, that war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not a chance. Not a chance at all we're going to win. So remember, this is the clear instruction of Allah, that we should stay away from from interest. And whatever leads to interest, the taking of interest, the giving of interest, the writing of interest, and the list goes on. So we need to refrain from this evil and this wrongdoing. If we are involved in it, we make sincere tawbah to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for whatever sin we have committed. Whether it's a minor sin, whether it's a major sin, whether the sins that I'm going to mention now, the two that I've mentioned already, the two that I'm going to still mention, or any other sin. Turn to Allah. Allah is waiting for us. The third evil, the third sin that the Muslim ummah is involved in is zina. Whether it's adultery, whether it's fornication. Allah makes mention in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً. Don't go near zina, for indeed it is a shameful act. Allah didn't say, وَلَا تَفْعَلُوا الزِّنَا, don't commit zina. Allah said, don't go near zina. And we just think zina is the act of committing zina, men and women involving themselves in that evil, despicable action of committing zina, adultery or fornication. But remember, there's more to it. The zina of the eyes, a man looking at a woman whom he can get married to, strange woman, strange men, woman looking at strange men, zina of the eyes, zina of the ears, listening to them, talking to them, zina of the tongue, by talking, zina of the feet, walking towards that woman or that man's home, zina of the heart, thinking about what can I do or what should I do, all those plans, and those plans are from shaitan. And the other zina is zina of the fingers and the thumbs. Now we've got social media, Instagram, WhatsApp, Twitter, Facebook, whatever it might be. Young and old are involved in it. Even the elderly people, the dadas, the nanas and the nannies are involved in it. We're not saying no. If you use it in a correct manner and constructively and there's some benefit in it, then why not? But when we abuse it and we misuse it, then we have to put a stop to it. So these are the types of zina. Not only the action of committing zina, all these things lead you towards zina. And we find many of our youth, whether male or female, are involved in it. We find many that are elderly, they are involved in it, if they are not married. Others that are married are involved in it. So we need to stay away from the zina. Allah says, like we mentioned, don't go near zina. Stay away from it. And these avenues here, the zina of the fingers, zina of the tongue, zina of the eyes, zina of the ears, zina of the heart, zina of the feet, it leads us to the main zina. If you put a stop to it at the outset, then we're saved. But even though, don't think, maybe at that moment you got saved, but somewhere later on, that girl, that boy can come along and can just, you know, take that magical wand and just do this to you and you're gone. You don't know what hit you. And nobody is safe from it. Whether you are a scholar, whether you are a learned person, whatever you might be, we have heard of incidents how people just got caught with the zina. And it broke their marriages. And some of them, in while they were young, or some of them that are still in the youth, they involved themselves in the zina. I have heard of an incident of a 15-year-old boy, Muslim boy, involved in the zina, the real zina. We're not talking about just talking zina or hearing, listening with the ears, etc. The action of zina, of committing. And these things are happening day in and day out. It's happening everywhere. And nobody can say, you know what, and shy away from it. It's not happening in Middleburg. It's not happening in West Bank. It's not happening here. It's not happening there. It's happening everywhere. So we need to, you know, turn to Allah and seek the help from Allah. We are all weak. We need to turn to Allah and say, oh Allah, I'm involved in this type of sins. Some of the sins, people know about it. Some of the sins, it's kept a secret. I'm doing it alone in the darkness of the night. Nobody knows. It's only me, Allah, and you. You are aware of it. So turn to Allah, and Allah is waiting for us. So just quickly, going through the three that we had mentioned with regards to music, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Al-ghina yunbitu nifaq fil qalb kama yunbitu al-ma'u zar. Music makes hypocrisy grow in the heart like how water causes the crops to grow. So there's no benefit, there's only harm in it. Number two, interest. Allah makes mention in the Quran, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Those people who involve themselves in interest, they are waging war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The third one, zina. Don't go near zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّوْ كَانَ فَحْشِيَا. Don't go near zina. It is in fact a shameful and despicable deed. Just one more point on it. Ulama makes mention that when a person is involved in zina, the actual zina, his iman is hovering up above him. Imagine while he's committing that zina, Allah takes him away from this world. Allahu Akbar. He passes away committing that evil, that wrongdoing. What answer is he going to have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah protect one and all. And then the fourth one. And this, many of us are involved in it. The men, the sons, the daughters also, at a point or so, we will discuss that at the end. And we talk and we tell the people, we tell our students in the Muslim school, we tell the students in the madrasa, wherever we meet the brothers, we tell the brothers, we tell them, but nobody listens. Like I mentioned the other day in the class, I told the students, I say when we tell you to do good, you don't listen. But when we say we're doing some evil, some wrong, without even completing that sentence, without even making announcement, everybody is ready for it. But when we say listen to the talk of Jumu'ah, there's a program after Isha, there's another program tomorrow, please avail yourself, then we got all excuses. My wife is alone at home. My children are alone at home. So when you're at the shop and you are working, we're not saying don't work and don't go to the shop, please. You need to do all that. But at that time, who's looking after them? The same Allah is looking after them when you are at work. So when we tell you something which is good, which will benefit you, You don't want to come for it. But evil in your leisure, you want to play soccer, you want to play cricket, you want to play tennis. At that time when you're doing all that, who's looking after your family at home? The same Allah. So when goodness is taking place, we need to be there. And when a person does a good action and people follow, the person who initiated that good action, whoever follows him, he will get the reward. And then on the flip side, the person who does an act of evil and people follow him, they will also get the sin of that evil action. So the sin that the Muslim brothers, the Muslim male, the Muslim youngsters are involved in is the cutting of hair. They don't know how to cut the hair. They're cutting in two lengths. The one student, the other, just 2 days ago, he said, no, everybody is doing it, so we'll just follow and doing it. Because that doesn't mean if everybody is doing it, it is permissible. If everybody is doing it, doesn't mean it's permissible. Why do we blindly follow people doing wrong? We need to be leaders in good, not following everybody doing evil and wrong. And I told the student, I told the learner, that if somebody or people are going into a big hole and they're falling in, are you going to fall in that hole? Obviously not. So this sin here, really, it's bad. We need to talk about it, and that is why we are mentioning it. With regards to qaza, the cutting of hair in two, three, four, whatever it might be, different hairstyles. First of all, you're following the kuffar. مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. He who follows a nation will be raised with that nation. So, we will mention in light of the hadith, I'm not taking out from my back pocket or from my front pocket or whatever. These are incidents that took place. Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade qaza'. It was asked, what is qaza'? The reply was, to shave a portion of the head of a child and leave hair on a portion. So, in our time, in our terms, two lengths, hairstyle, short hair, long hair, whatever it might be, long hair on the top, short hair. Nowadays, they put one line here and one gash here, following one sportsman there, some actor, doing all these kind of things. Do we want to be raised with those actors on the day of Qiyamah? Definitely not. So we need to follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will be raised with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We do the wrong things, we want to enter Jannah. Will it ever happen? Never. We do the right things, we will enter Jannah. No doubt whatsoever. The second incident with regards to qaza. Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a boy whose head was partly shaved and there was hair on the other part. He prohibited them from this and said, either shave all off or keep hair of the same length on the entire head. The first hadith is mentioned in Mishkat, volume 2, page 504, if you need the reference. Because nowadays, when we mention things to you, say, Bukhari, Muslim, we want it. Give us the reference. Now we give you the reference and then you can go and check it up. The second one is in Abu Dawood, volume 4, page 134. Another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a boy with two plaits or two locks of hair. He forbade this, saying that this is the style of the Yahud, that is the Jews. Abu Dawood, volume 4, page 134. So what do we learn from these ahadith? We learn, A, the hair should be one size and not two or more lengths on the head. Nowadays, I don't know, some students, mashallah, they did their own research. I didn't see it, but somewhere along the line we heard about it. That they came, they say, no, we've got one fatwa. The Mufti said it's permissible. You can make it number 2 year, number 3 year, number 4 year. Subhanallah. I don't know where is that Mufti. Bring him, please. Because every Mufti that I spoke to, the senior, world-renowned scholars, they say, what? Where these people came out from? We don't know. So we need come with all that, and then we can tell you, where did you find it? And we need to give us that information. So we give you a hadith, we got the volume, we got the pages, and then you want to challenge these world-renowned scholars, and then you want to challenge the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where you're supposed to be keeping one length. The second one, B, it is forbidden to shave a part of the head and keep hair on the other part. C, we must avoid the styles of the non-Muslims. Nowadays, if a Muslim guy does it also, doesn't mean it's permissible. If I, for example, you see me somewhere, I shaven beard, and you say, hey, that Maulana there, I also shave my beard because I follow that Maulana. Don't follow me. You'll go to Jahannam. Do what you're supposed to be doing according to the Quran, the verses of Allah, the commands of Allah, and the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So parents who allow these forbidden styles of haircuts for their young children carry the burden of going against the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So having said all these kind of things, the different types of sons. I just told you four. We told you about music, we told you about interest, we told you about zina, and now we told you about this qaza. There are many other sins that the Muslim Ummah is involved in, but I thought these are the four at the moment on a high. So what we need to do, we need to take a firm stand and say, I'm going to fulfill every command of Allah and the sunnah, follow the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't worry about this guy, don't worry about that one. I'm doing it for the pleasure of Allah, for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let people say what they want to say. Because even if you do good, they're going to talk. You say you do something bad, they're still going to talk. So there's no end to it. You don't control them and you can't stop them from talking and saying things what they want to say. So what Allah makes mention in the Quran? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair, do not be despondent of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is forgiving and merciful. Whatever sin we are involved in, whether it's small, whether it's a minor sin, major sin, whatever sin, seek the forgiveness of Allah. Beseech Allah. Ask Allah, please forgive me. I know I'm doing this wrong action. Please forgive me. Allah is waiting for us. A human being, you and I, if I do something wrong to you once, you'll overlook it. The second time, you'll overlook it. The third time, I had enough. I'm sick and tired. That's what we will say. But Allah, never. You can sin, you can do so much of haram, Allah will still give us. Allah will give us. Allah says, maybe He'll change, He'll come back to me. Even if it's after 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, we sin day in, day out. Whatever this, wherever we are, so many times we are involved in different types of sins. And one day we realize and we come to our senses and we say, you know what, I'm doing so much of evil, I need to make a change in my life. And when you just lift your hands in tawbah, in repentance, tawbatan nasuha, sincere tawbah, Allah will say, accept His tawbah. And while we are sitting here, all of you, let us say, Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Definitely Allah is going to forgive us. And Hazrat Maulana Tariq Jamil Sahib Damat Barakatuhu, in every talk when he came to South Africa, he did this exercise. And he told the brothers that have conviction that your sins are forgiven. It is like that day your mother has given birth to you without any sin. Subhanallah. Obviously, there's some conditions attached to it. What are the conditions? Very briefly and quickly, I'm going to mention. The first condition for our tawbah to be accepted and to be forgiven by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is, number one, we make a sincere tawbah, I'm not going to involve myself in that sin in my life again. Number two, to be remorseful, to be saddened by that wrongdoing. Cry. Feel sad that how could I have done this wrong action? How could I violate the command of Allah? And the third one is to distance ourselves from that sin. If these three conditions are found, Allah will forgive us and we will be totally changed men and changed woman as well. So mentioning that, I just recall that I had to mention something with regards to the females as well. We had mentioned with regards to qaza for the males, but for the females as well, the fringe, not permissible. The camel hump, not permissible. This is the injunction and what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned. And our Muslim women are involved in it. And we as husbands, as fathers, as caregivers, we don't care damn. You say, no, you look smart like that. Make it like that. Make your hair short. Cut it. What, you know what is the sin for that woman who cuts her hair? Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. That woman cuts her hair and she passes away in that state. In this world, she won't have hair to cover her bosom. So already punishment in the world. And we say, no, hey, my wife, you look beautiful like that. You look smart. We tell them to do that. We hear so many incidents like this where the woman come and say, no, my husband say I must cut my hair like this. My father say I mustn't wear scarf. You listening to your father? Rather listen to Allah with respect to your father or your mother or the elderly person. Remember, we have to fulfill every command of Allah. We can't go against the commandments of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala by listening to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even the women that are listening out there, the fringe has, okay, having the fringe, not permissible. Cutting hair in layers, not permissible. That camel hump, hijab, not allowed at all. We're wearing the hijab, mashallah, but do it the right way. So we make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He grants us the true understanding of what has been said, to practice righteous deeds, and may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make it easy for the Muslim Ummah, because we find the Muslim Ummah involved in so much of evil, so much of wrong, and then we want the help of Allah to come. How is it going to happen? So we make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, grant the Ummah the guidance to love, respect, and practice the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa ma'alina illa al-balaghu sallallahu sallam wa baraka ala Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanakallahu wa bihamdik, nashadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.